The founder, the endowed, transcendent destroyer, the one gone beyond, the foe destroyer, the completely perfected, fully awakened being, perfect in knowledge and in good conduct, Sugata, knower of the world, supreme guide of human beings to be tamed, teacher of gods and human beings, to you, the completely and fully awakened one, the endowed, transcendent destroyer, the glorious conqueror, the subduer from the Shaka clan, I prostrate, make offerings, and go for refuge. To the founder, the endowed, transcendent destroyer, the one gone beyond, the foe destroyer, the completely perfected, fully awakened being, perfect in knowledge and in good conduct, Sugata, knower of the world, supreme guide of human beings to be tamed, teacher of gods and human beings, to you, the completely and fully awakened one, the endowed, transcendent destroyer, the glorious conqueror, the subduer from the Shaka clan, I prostrate, make offerings, and go for refuge. To the founder, the endowed, transcendent destroyer, the one gone beyond, the foe destroyer, the completely perfected, fully awakened being, perfect in knowledge and in good conduct, Sugata, knower of the world, supreme guide of human beings to be tamed, teacher of gods and human beings, to you, the completely and fully awakened one, the endowed, transcendent destroyer, the glorious conqueror, the subduer from the Shakya clan, I prostrate, make offerings, and go for refuge. When, O supreme amongst humans, you were born on this earth, you paced out seven strides, then said, I am supreme in this world. To you who were wise, then I prostrate, with pure body, form supremely pure, wisdom ocean like a golden mountain, fame that blazes in the three worlds, winner of the best, Lord, to you I prostrate, with a supreme signs, face like spotless moon, color like gold, to you I prostrate, dust free like you, the three worlds are not, incomparably wise one, to you I prostrate, the Savior having great compassion, the Founder having all understanding, reveal the merit with qualities like a vast ocean, to you the one God to thusness I prostrate, the virtue that frees one from attachment, the virtue that frees one from the lower realms, the one path of sublime pure reality, to the Dharma that pacifies I prostrate. Those who are liberated, who will also show the path to liberation, the holy field qualified with realizations, who are devoted to the moral precepts, to the divine community attending virtue I prostrate. Homage to the Supreme Buddha, homage to the Dharma refuge, homage to the great Sangha, to all three ever devout homage, to all worthy of respect, bowing with bodies as many as all realms, atoms in all aspects, with supreme faith I pay homage. Do not commit any non-virtuous actions, perform only perfect virtuous actions, subdue your mind thoroughly, this is the teaching of the Buddha. A star, a visual aberration, a flame of a lamp, an illusion, a drop of dew or a bubble, a dream, a flash of lightning, a cloud, see conditioned things as such. Through these merits, may sentient beings attain the rank of all seeing, subdue the four faults, and be delivered from samsara's ocean, perturbed by the waves of aging, sickness, and death. I prostrate to the Arya Triple Gem. Thus did I hear at one time, the Bhagavan was dwelling on massive Vultures Mountain in Rajgriha, together with a great community of monks and a great community of bodhisattvas. At that time, the Bhagavan was absorbed in the concentration on the categories of phenomena of perception. Also at that time, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Arya Avalokiteshvara looked upon the very practice of the profound perfection of wisdom, and beheld those five aggregates also as empty of inherent nature. Then, through the power of Buddha, the Venerable Shariputra said this to the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Arya Avalokiteshvara: how should any son of the lineage train who wishes to practice the activity of the profound perfection of wisdom? He said that, and the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Arya Avalokiteshvara said this to the Venerable Shariputra: Shariputra, any son of the lineage or daughter of the lineage who wishes to practice the activity of the profound perfection of wisdom should look upon it like this, correctly and repeatedly beholding those five aggregates, also as empty of inherent nature. Form is empty, emptiness is form. Emptiness is not other than form. Form is also not other than emptiness. In the same way, feeling, discrimination, compositional factors, and consciousness are empty. Shariputra, likewise, all phenomena are emptiness, without characteristic, unproduced, unceased, stainless, not without stain, not deficient, not fulfilled. Shariputra, therefore, in emptiness, there is no form, no feeling, no discrimination, no compositional factors, no consciousness, no eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind, no visual form, no sound, no odor, no taste, no object of touch, and no form. There is no eye element, and so on, up to and including no mind element, and no There is no ignorance, no extinction of ignorance, and so on, up to and including no aging and death, and no extinction of aging and death. Similarly, there is no suffering, origination, cessation, and power. There is no exalted wisdom, no attainment, and also no non-attainment. Shariputra, therefore, because there is no attainment, bodhisattvas rely on and dwell in the perfection of wisdom, the mind without obscuration and without fear. Having completely passed beyond error, they reach the end point of nirvana. All the Buddhas who dwell in the three times also manifestly completely awaken to unsurpassable, perfect, complete enlightenment in reliance on the perfection of wisdom. Therefore, the mantra of the perfection of wisdom, the mantra of great knowledge, the unsurpassed mantra, the mantra equal to the unequal, the mantra that thoroughly pacifies all suffering, should be known as truth since it is not false. The mantra of the perfection of wisdom is declared. Shariputra, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, should train in the profound perfection of wisdom like that. Then the Bhagavan arose from that concentration and commended the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Arya Avalokiteshvara, saying, well said, son of the lineage, it is like that. It is like that. One should practice the profound perfection of wisdom just as you've indicated. Even the Tathagatas rejoice. The Bhagavan, having thus spoken, the Venerable Sharadvadaputra, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Arya Avalokiteshvara, and those surrounding in their entirety, along with the world, gods, humans, asuras, and gandharvas, were overjoyed and highly praised that spoken by the Bhagavan. Next page. I prostrate to the gathering of Dakinis in the three chakras who abide in the holy yoga of using space. By your powers of clairvoyance and magic illumination, look after practitioners like a mother
for
child.
Agadamarada yandara samaraya vede yada omgaden kade para parasangade modi asuava
bhava gonyo. The teachings of the three supreme jewels possessing the power of truth may enter in our hindrances be transformed. May they be dispelled. May they be pacified. May all negative forces opposed to Dharma be completely pacified. May the host of 80,000 obstacles be pacified. May we be separated from problems and harmful conditions through Dharma. May all enjoyments be in accord with the Dharma. And may there be auspiciousness and perfect happiness here right now. Prayer to the lineage lamas.
Yeah, I know about Jo
Please think in the following way. There are living beings as far as the furthest reaches of space. And I want to motivate myself for their sake to become a perfect Buddha. With that in mind, I will listen to, I will make an effort and listen to the precious teaching, understand it, and put into practice all that is taught. In that way, I will, in that with those stages, I will motivate myself. The doctrine that I'm going to listen to today, or that we're going to deal with today, is the great Tsongkhapa's explanation, exposition of the stages of the path to enlightenment. So this exposition of the graduated stages of the path to enlightenment is set forth under four main headings. First, to show the excellence of the source, setting forth the greatness of the teacher, the greatnesses of the teacher. Then, to show the validity or the excellence of the advice given, the greatnesses of the teaching. Then an explanation of how to listen to and give an exposition of the teaching with those two greatnesses. And fourth, the actual stages set out, as they are set out. Of these four, the first two I've already dealt with. And we are now at this point then dealing with the explanation of how the teachings possessing those two greatnesses should be listened to and explained.
Sumba cheba ni de ji chula ni he chitar chawi chur he ban da las chu ni bi chur en he bi chur yug du tmo de chitar chawi chur ji ne ga sa che sum yo bi tang wo s chu ni bi chur he bi ga yin ba le s
So of the so how teachings possessing these two greatnesses should be listened to and explained. This again is set forth under three basic headings, namely, how to listen to it, how to explain it, and then finally, how generally to proceed at the end. So we're now in the first of these, under we're dealing with the first of these three headings, how to listen.
to nyembi tsorn da la yans ane chu tobi pen o samba chu dan chu ma ba la rumro che ba nyen sur mu sikene sa che sum yong go yi ma ris
and again of this here again how to listen is set forth again under three rubrics or headings. This is as in the bottom of page 11, thinking about the advantages of listening to the Dharma, developing respect for the Dharma and those who teach it, and then the actual way to listen. So this first one, the thinking about what you get out of or the advantages of this comprehension or listening, this really is extremely important because when you think about what you get from it, when you think about the advantages, you really do motivate yourself to try to succeed at it. So I did deal with that at some length last time. So I've already dealt then with this thinking about what you get out of it, the advantages. Now the second is how you develop a respect for what's being taught and for those who are teaching it. And this, of course, is explaining how you cultivate a worshipful sense towards these, how you show respect. So in essence here, it is cultivating a feeling of respect and belief. It's thinking of being cognizant of the fact that all of the excellent things that happen in the present, all of the excellent things that will happen in the future, the foundation of them and the basis of them is the understanding and the articulation of what you have to understand in the doctrine, in the Dharma. And that understanding then, or from out or with that understanding, a development of a real feeling of faith in it and a deep-seated respect for it. And because of that respect for that understanding and the words which articulate that understanding, then those who teach it, cultivating a visualization or an understanding of them as being, as it were, standing in for the enlightened beings or for the Buddha, standing in for them and developing a great feeling of respect and also a feeling of wanting to serve them.
Sumba, ane chungye sur ngu o sea tiin bari sirwa.
No.
Dala ta no ji ki chong sun pang, ane nduhi, ngachen no ji chong sun pang.
No, so.
Chungye bing, tunchen,
So the bottom line here, we're now on the actual way to listen, which is to say the third of these points. Really what we're doing here is looking at three ways you get rid of shortcomings which might be in people listening, and six douches, six imaginations, if you will, which you cultivate as a listener. So if you've got some kind of vessel and you're going to pour water into that vessel, you could have three problems which wouldn't allow you to get the benefit of what you want when you put it into that vessel. So what are they? So the first is on page 13, if a vessel is turned upside down. And a second, or even if it is facing upwards, the vessel, it still is dirty inside. So on the third one is that even if the vessel is clean, it's not dirty, but still there's a hole in the bottom, or the bottom's leaking, that would be a third problem with a vessel. So certainly if you have a vessel turned upside down, it doesn't matter if it rains or you try to pour water into it, nothing's going to get in it. And then say you turn the vessel right side up, but it's a filthy vessel. Then the water goes in, but of course there's still nobody who's going to use it or have any benefit from it, because it wouldn't be drinkable. So given that what you want to do is have a drink, you still wouldn't get the benefit of that benefit, what you want, still wouldn't be achieved, even though the water was in it.
And
then in the third one, of course, it's as clean as a whistle. It's very clean, but down comes the water, and you still don't get to drink it because it goes right out the other side. So this obviously is the metaphor, the example. So then halfway down the paragraph, in the same way, there is no great need to listen to hear the Dharma if you sit in a place where it is explained but you do not listen well. Though this is then what's being exemplified. In other words, if there's an excellent discourse on the truth, on the Dharma being set forth, but you're just not turning your ability to comprehend it on, then it's not much use.
Thank you.
So that's the first thing which is being exemplified, where you just don't get any use. You don't get the benefit. The second is you listen, but you take it in and you turn it into something it's not. It becomes, how to say, you distort it and you take it in a distorted fashion. Or you do it, which is say you listen, and you're listening because of something that's motivating you. And this motivation, be it some obsession or be it some extreme animosity or whatever, any one of or some other afflictive emotion is operating, and that's why you're actually listening and comprehending, then it comes in. One does get some comprehension in this case, but the comprehension is of no benefit because it gets, as you might say, perverted or distorted. And also when that motivation is very narrowly circumscribed. In other words, what you want to happen, you want it to happen to you before you're dead. And if that's the only reason you're doing it, then it's clearly not going to have anything to do with after you're dead, when in any other form of life you might be in. And so when it's so narrowly circumscribed like that, what you want from it, that also is a motivation which distorts it or perverts it so that it's not what's being taught. Now, it is it could be the case then that actually, one's thinking about something not so narrowly circumscribed. You're thinking of yourself again in another form of life, and that form of life, you really don't want it to be incredibly suffering. You want, in fact, to have the wonderful sort of human life or a divine life. So that would be a motivation of a person of small scope, which would be operating in that case.
Oh, damn, that. Korvi gyur ma to ta are jamru gu ma zna ta ne tarvi gyur mun ro bar se ro
yang gi sna
ta jamru gu ma zn ba yina
olare
kolong te zam gi gon ni ba yina tarvi gyur mun ro ba yin bar se
Now if that's the reason it's happening, but there isn't a it's not informed by taking as a true place of safety the three jewels, then it doesn't even, that motivation leads to a situation such that what's being done, listening, is not going to work towards that person finding freedom. Again, a motivation, one's doing it, and so the motivation is informed, And it's informed, but again, narrowly circumscribed in this sense that one sees freedom. And the freedom which one is looking at is a freedom which one will get personally. It's an authentic freedom. Then at that point, the motivation would be one which is so-called Hinayana, or lacking in something. In other words, it wouldn't be a great vehicle motivation. However, one comes at it, and the explanation of why one's coming at it is properly framed in this sense, namely, that you have in mind every living being and every one of those living beings' problems, and you've produced the thought that I want to get to be totally, perfectly awakened and enlightened in order to get them out of their sufferings. At that point, if one's doing it with that, informed by that, then it would be a Mahayana motivation. So the point here, of course, is that whatever one is getting into, if it's informed by, if the explanation of why it's happening is there is a thought in the person to become, that they have produced the thought to become enlightened for the sake of others, that's incredibly important. And then, of course, let's say that all of those, even that level of a motivation is in fact operating, but still, as it says, the words and meaning, or even in the case these faults are not present, reading, the words and the meaning you grasped at the time of hearing are not consolidated and get lost through forgetfulness and so on. In other words, if they just slip away, that again is not good. In other words, that there is no change in the importance which is being given to what you want to achieve is really important. So there's three things then that one wants to be careful to eliminate. Three shortcomings here that one wants to eliminate. First, that one is not concentrating in order to comprehend. That's the first thing you want to get rid of. And second is that even if concentrating to comprehend, that you're not doing so for a reason which is faulty. And third, that sumbade gontari hanges sumbade. And then what you've comprehended, that you don't lose it, that you keep it and remember what you comprehended. Those three, forgetting it, losing it, you also want, would be a fault, and you want to eliminate that as well. You want to remember it. You want to be free from those shortcomings. And so you find this set forth in the sutras. The antidote is here set forth in three phrases in the sutras. Listen well, intently, and keep it in mind. Lekpar rab du nyon la yid la zong shik. So, lekpar, where it is here, well. So, in other words, it's well listened. So, well means properly, i.e., not with the deficient motivation. And rabdunyun here, it's not just listen, but listen well. So well, listen well, is I guess how you translate it. Listen well means, this is at the 2B3A, 3A1, third line from the bottom. So where it says listen well, rabdunyun means concentrate and listen. So that's the concentrate. In other words, rabdunyun, listen, is the, you know, concentrate. And the third one here, keep it in mind, is don't forget. So that's where the three are. So what one has to do is, having comprehended what is being conveyed in a proper discourse, having that comprehension, then to go back to the comprehension within oneself, within going back to it, to be thinking about what was comprehended. And that process of thinking about what one has comprehended before when one was listening leads to a certainty about it. So that samjung, that thinking about it stage, is extremely important. In listening, you comprehend. It's incredibly important to intently listen and thereby comprehend what's being said. Having comprehended it, it's very important to bring it up again and again in one's mind, thinking about it, and through thinking about what one comprehended, come to a decision about it. And having decided correctly about it, that decision that one's come to, one then has to ingrain it in oneself. And so, therefore, the ingraining or the meditation is extremely important after you've thought about what you've comprehended. So that listening, thinking, and meditation is very important. So then Asanga's Bodhisattva Bhumi, or Bodhisattva levels, really explains this nicely. He says, you listen with the desire to know everything. You listen single-pointedly, with attention, with a humble mind, and with the thought of all living beings or sentient beings. So you, as you're trying to understand it or comprehend it, what somebody's saying, what's going on as you're trying to comprehend what the person's saying, you really want to understand absolutely everything that person is getting across. Mm. That's what the first one means. And at that time when you're trying to comprehend what the person is saying, you want to know everything about it, your mind isn't thinking about anything else. You're totally, absolutely thinking or set on that. Mm. It's single-pointedly.
Mm. Mm.
And so, as it says here, the dwenwa now alak now a day. In other words, you put your hearing on it. In other words, you're concentrating on that.
Yet the ba said you and is same yen the mind war genig ani the same re and is the chik the la par and te go the same.
So you know you have single pointedness and attention, which are very similar words. So you are concentrating on that alone.
That same tamje is am ning bar song so said you. Arewa ane nye nye ba kangshi glass ane yang samlo surchi ge da kor de banda otende yong yor bas
jo
o tende ma yim bas ser ba da ane bi samlo yong zo be ane chok ta la der ni ge ane nye ko ri song yim bar da.
You know how you can get as you're trying to comprehend something, you've also got another kind of thing going on at the same time a little bit. So you really don't have anything else going on at the same time. It's only you're totally collected in on this thing you're trying to comprehend.
Mm.
You know, you can be there trying to understand something, and you know you're off traveling through all sorts of countries and so on. So there's not much value then, is there?
No, Chindi. Chibzong Lama, that ngawang jansu sense chongwa rebas.
No.
Then liwo chuda dukdu bi nam chunda hing dukdes same ji jankam kordu samba ting ni chosong.
No.
So karsong korse liwo chuda la dekha du ra chakunda duks.
Not sure I've got the exact translation here, but Chupsang Rinpoche, Ngawang, anyway, yes, anyway, Chupsang Rinpoche, put this across very nicely in a couplet, and he said the person from the outside physically looks like they're doing it very beautifully, but inside they're just wandering off in all sorts of places, and so that's not good. That's really sad. That really is a great shame.
So there
one has eliminated those three possible shortcomings, and at the same time then one wants to be setting up a scene for oneself, or six imaginations, maybe is the best way. One's imagining three things, six things at the same time. So one imagines oneself as being sick. And you imagine the person who's teaching as your doctor. And so that teacher then is imparting particular advice to you, and so you see that advice that you're comprehending as like medicine, as like a prescription. And then that's the prescription or the medicine, and then you see yourself taking it, by which one means to say actually putting the advice into practice with a great deal of effort as being the actual way you get cured.
And
Yangyar? No, you.
sangji chom den de la ta ga kan sa par ba ta ma ba ta ba ma yin ba ji bu tan bi hin du ya go le se
ji bu tan ba shin du
ji bu tan bi hin du ji
de she ma san
ji bu tan ba
se yo yo
la ma tan ba se mo do che ba ta pa
So,
give a tamba said you got it up.
You, you, yeah. Anyhow,
Tanya, you're a sovereign, say, go your car.
The Nyembe cup. Ale, consul, you're a raise.
Dushi.
So, then you imagine, while you're listening, that there's the Tathagatas, and, you know, the Buddhists, the Tathagatas, and you're, so at the same time as these ones, you have the imagination, this, and the fifth one is you're imagining the Buddhas. And the Buddhas, you imagine them as Dhamma, right? Dhamma is
it? Dhamma, Chepartampakpa.
Chepartampakpa.
Chibu Dhamma is it? Lama Dhamma.
So you imagine them as being special people.
Dhamma is it? Subram Siyate Rewe Hol Karreda. Holy beings, Sigurve Karsigurve.
Holy beings. You imagine that the target is as being holy beings. You view them. I see. So we're saying like they may well be holy beings, right? There they are, all holy beings. But as you're there listening, it's not enough that they're there, holy beings. You've got to be thinking they're holy beings.
Tak cuci cula, andi nak kerja tu, di nang nang doa tu. Dengan kekuala cipta tambah induk hijab, pas.
Yes.
Kerja tu.
Did ini yang turn dah lola syarikat itu. The target is ascent as exalted beings.
Kerja tu. Ya ya.
Mari de kerja sana.
Tak. Tegas anda kangsa rangga wa main ba.
Di.
Oh, cepat tempat pasuk itu sama dengan tangguh di sini.
Sangi jom dende.
Oh, tapi mana tiju tak cakap pun tuhi yang kemarba.
Ah, kerana sana tempat dina yang race.
No, tiju di kongtu sangi jom dende.
Ah, I see. You go because you're listening to something, right? And what you're listening to comes from somewhere, and you have to think that what you're listening to, the place it's coming from, is really good, right? So it's not the Tathagatas, it's the Tathagata, it's the Buddha. And you're really thinking, oh, that Buddha is really special. Yeah, because that's where it's coming from. Otherwise, you're not going to think it's special what you're listening to, right? And without thinking what you're listening to is special, it's not going to work. So you have to, that's what it means, the fifth one. Imagining, if you will, or thinking that the Tathagata. So it should be just one, or it could be many, I suppose. But anyway, the Tathagata is really special. It's a holy being. It is special. Lotus, do you?
No, I don't know.
Yeah. Lotus. For example, no, the Dalai Lama said it. He said, oh, okay. No, right, that's the reason that this, the fifth imaginations or the fifth ideas is there, because you say, well, you know, the Dalai Lama said it. Oh, I see. Then it's so that's the reason why you had to put it, contemplating the discrimination of the Tathagatas as exalted beings. That's what that means. No,
listen.
It's like, look, the guy who said this, right, was not just some ordinary guy. This was a guy called the Buddha, and he was a really, really, how do you say, holy guy. I mean, you're trying to put across that it's really good.
That's it. Ot tinduki ti yona ta ti songbi ge chu ta ten za chi bin duki ti yong ge yor.
And hence it's really a great, that's the sixth one therefore, contemplation contemplating the wish for the Dharma. Mm-hmm. The, so, and that's the reason you think the Dharma is good.
Mm-hmm. Da chuji tuga chuji tsurla rindu nevi ndhi chepa wo.
No, and the sixth one, generating the wish for the Dharma tradition to last long.
Da tuwa sanji chum den deji rwa tene song vi ge da chu de si ani hen hen ge she nyen hen ge nyen an den de si chi ba yena se den da la te ni ge da tuwa sanji chum den di chu lu ge da ne ji ge ji kam de da yu ring du be ne ni ge re be ne wa ri kom chi ne na ka te ya ko yong gu ma re sa bin du chi de go yo I ba re
I see, and the like, if you don't listen, if you can't comprehend it, then there's the danger that nobody comprehends it and then is not around anymore. And you think, boy, if it wasn't around anymore, that would be a tremendous loss. And hence you think, oh, it really would be terrible if it was lost. And so that's the sixth one, that it's really important that this isn't lost. I've got to comprehend it.
Hmm.
So the first then is that one's sick or one is sick, yeah. So as the Bodhicharya Avatara says, even when stricken with ordinary illness, one has to follow the words of a doctor. How much more so if 100 ills like lust afflict you perpetually?
No, digata. Tamarvi ne sejitan jikten yongra kene rwa. Longdang tiba peken sehu yorba ta. Kantar ane tindigi nasa na ondu se, net chaya ga tondagla, tanda memba teni ge, membi ge karla lobtong che yo na, tat ardu ta laglen cha gu yori rwa. Tiki na, ane nasa teligi ta chagri rwa.
So even when you get struck down by a disease which is commonly known in the world, you know, be it one which is, how can you say, to do with, you know, pneumonia kind disease or a nervous disease or a, you know, kind of, what do they call it, a one of those kind of diseases, of the three kinds of ways you can get diseases. Well, anyway, any of those ordinary diseases, you go along and you get a particular prescription and you really know that you have to put into practice the cure as it's been explained.
Mm.
You know how diet gets to be a really big thing, right? And this you can't eat and that you can't eat. One thing's for sure, there's all sorts of things you can't eat. And they're telling you all about this is what you can't eat, right? And you follow it, right? You don't think, well, I ain't going to do it. You know you got to follow it. So you got no choice, right? You can't eat it. Why? Because you want to cure yourself of the particular disease that you're being afflicted by. So you follow it. It's just an ordinary thing, even with an ordinary, what do you call it, condition.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the case, that you've got to do it in an ordinary situation like that, then you think of your being in forms of life again and again, from a time, in fact, which has no beginning. You've been in so many different forms of life, and each one of them, you were being oppressed by the illnesses of, what do you call it, as he puts it, lust, or, you know, obsessive needs, and aversions and different kinds of ignorance, all of these, they've afflicted you for so long, and all of the sufferings that come with those forms of life, it goes without saying that you have to put into practice the cure for them. What it's a metaphor that we are sick with the disease of the afflictive emotions. So the metaphor is taking the being in a form of life, and the metaphor for them is a sick person, a patient. What are they sick with? What's their disease? The disease is the afflictive emotions. So that person in that form of life, then the metaphor is a patient. That patient has to know they're sick.
No.
I mean, if the person doesn't know they're sick, they got a real problem, right? Therefore, we first need to diagnose them as such. Kama was, this is one of the Kadampa Geshis. Now, let's say you're sitting there and you're not sick and you're a hypochondriac, or you know, you're a hypochondriac, then that is a, what's the word, a chinchilo. That is a misconception, right? That would be a misconception. If you thought you were sick and you weren't sick, that would be a It's not like that. It's not hypochondria. One's actually sick. So he said, if it is not in accord with the actual situation, our meditation goes off in the wrong direction. Actually, we are sick, though. We have been stricken with a serious illness due to the three poisons, that's to say, you know, the afflictive emotions. We are with that. The illness is really serious, but we don't know we're sick. We're not just sick. How do you say? What's the word? We got a really life-threatening illness going on. It's a, what's the word with it? We're terminal, right? So it has an old word, a nice word for we here. So this is we. We don't know we are ill at all. We don't know we're sick at all. And ye me, you know, at all. We're sick and we just have no idea that we're actually sick. I mean, think of when you really start to get upset and you really upset yourself, then you physically, it begins to affect you physically, right? That's this tremendous upset is beginning to affect you physically. But let's say there's somebody you really can't stand. You really can't stand them. And things really start to go well for them. It really starts to sort of like, I'd say, get at you inside, and it really begins to, what's it called? You really get problem inside when you see somebody you really can't stand really starting to, it really starts to go well for them, right?
다 즉 안에 소수 근 도비 그 돈다가 보스 두베 라 안에 만두나 양 세 마치 바치 요르바 다데 아 도착 비셀 약 약이 버리르바
so you know then there's some particular project you've got going and you're really set on this project. You've put your heart into that project. It really matters and it's just not coming together. And again, you're starting to really find it even affecting you physically, right? That's the obsessive need. That's the lust or whatever you call it. That's the obsessive need, right? Now, since that's what we're actually dealing with in reality, if you think this person is sick, then that's not a misconception of what's actually going on. There's sickness there, right? So that's the first of the six, right? Thinking of oneself as the patient. Now, the second, thinking of the one expounding the Dharma as the doctor.
No, sir.
So, as it says here, then, if we are stricken with a serious illness, such as the wind or the bile disease, in other words, if we really are, if we've really fallen sick, we look for a specialist in medicine. And meeting one, we are extremely happy, listen to what he says, treat him with respect, and acknowledge him. That's to say, you know, when you're really sick and then you find your specialist and you meet the specialist, you really, really think very highly of that specialist and you wonder if would you possibly like to come out and have something to eat or perhaps you could buy them tea or whatever it is. You really make them very important, right? That's the example, you know. So that's the example, right? So as it says, in the same way, look for a spiritual guide teaching the Dharma. And having found one, you do what that spiritual guide tells you to do. That's to say, you put it into practice. And you don't take it as a burden, but as an ornament. That's to say, you don't think that this is a problem, but it really is something which is like an ornament for you. And you act with respect and reverence towards it.
Can you do that?
I notice people don't really use a lot of jewelry here, right? I mean, there's some places people really, really load themselves up with the most incredible jewelry. So if you took the jewelry off a person and weighed it up, they'd be wearing more than a kilo of jewelry on them. No. So, no.
What do you do? That day. Tak de du ko doktri doktri sin ha kong dua doktri
doktri sin kare la doktri lolis kur kur
no kur kur de yosam ki yomaris
doktri
yencha tak de yosam ni en
gato yeah. So if you think right, you're loaded down with really really heavy ornaments, then it's as though, I mean, actually, how to say, you're carrying a weight, right? But you don't see it as a weight. You're really happy to bear the weight of all the ornaments. So that's the idea here.
That's it.
the disciplinarian. But down in Sarah, you have the main assembly hall, and you have the main disciplinarian of the main assembly hall. So you tend to get, how do you say, appointed to the position once you start to get a little bit older. Say you're in your 50s when you get the position, right?
Yeah.
So remember, up in Tibet, it was pretty cold, right? So you wore very heavy clothes there. So the disciplinarians, right, had... You said they had some really, what do you call it, spiffy, I guess you'd call it, clothes, you know. And these ones, the upper garment, the tunica, was really, really big and heavy. The shoulder pads, I guess you'd call them, or the shoulder things, would be that big coming out. What were they again? They were kind of something, anyways, hanging down, is it, which would hang all the way down part of the get up, all the way down to the knees. So they didn't. So it's not just all of those incredibly heavy garments that the person had to wear. Don't forget, they're getting older here. They also have a great big stick they've got to carry, right? I bet you that guy's carrying 50 pounds of weight if you actually were to put him on a scale and see how much it all weighs.
Yeah.
Because that guy, you know, in that position, is so, you know, so pleased with being in that position, doesn't feel the weight at all, right? He's just like, you know, like swaggering around like he's the head of the show. So it's like that.
Yeah.
So that's the example, right? That's what it means here when it says... You know, it's like you get some teacher and the person telling you to do this, telling you to do that, telling you to do the other. It's like, oh my God, there's so much to do. It's like a huge weight on you, right? So, I mean, you know, you got to feed the guy, you got to serve the guy. There's so much stuff which is like loaded onto you with one of these teachers, right? Yeah, it's like you're a beast of burden there. So you don't think that it's a burden in that way, right? So, you know, it's not quite imagination, but the way of thinking is, no, I'm not going to go that way, that this is really a huge amount of hassle here. No, this is like, that's incredible. I got a real classy, real-time guru here. And this is really, the bottom line here is, right, you know, they go, this is really a big burden here. You really don't want to go that way. You want to be not seeing it as a big problem. That's really important.
So
taking it not as a burden, but as an ornament, acting with respect and reverence towards it. And the third one, then, generating the discrimination of the instructions as medicine. So in other words, the spiritual friend imparts advice for the spiritual practice, and it's just putting that into practice is what is being talked about here.
Oh, did that? Did it was indeed. Bernada, Nepal, MC, Dr. Mente, won't you say?
No, sir.
That the GT Chimbochi, and it. The Chigrabada, Nyatak Chigrabasa.
Nare.
GT Chimbochi, Dandy.
No.
So,
a person who's sick, who goes to a doctor, and the doctor then, having understood how they're sick, prescribes something for them, that prescription, that medicine, they don't, how can you say, just treat it as not important. I mean, say you've got some, you know, you've filled your prescription, and it's a, you know, you're really sick, and you've got, you filled your prescription, but somehow you lose your prescription. You lose your medicine. Or somehow it gets spoiled. You really have a tremendous amount of sena, how can you put it? You're really, really tight-fisted about that medicine. You just don't want to lose it, right? So the advice here is something that you put into practice. And so the putting of it into practice is something that's being exemplified by the medicine, right? Putting it into practice is what's being exemplified by the medicine here. So just as you really think that medicine is extremely important and you're not going to kind of, how can you say, treat it as unimportant. Similarly, putting it into practice, you're really going to give that great importance. So just as a patient greatly appears the medicine put together by a doctor, you should read the instruction, precept, and so on. Generating the discrimination of persistent practice as the cure. So an ill person sees that his illness cannot be alleviated unless he takes the medicine the doctor's put together and takes it. So that medicine might really taste bad, it might have all sorts of side effects and so on, but it's not an issue. Takes it quite happily. I mean, you don't think when you say medicine that this is really tasty stuff. That's not an issue, right? Some of it tastes terrible. Some of it really stings and some of it really is bitter. But that's not really an issue with medicine, right?
You know, the mazina.
But, you know, you're sick, you're scared of your sickness, and it tastes repulsive, but there's no way you're not taking it. You really want to take it, even though it tastes bad, to get well. So that's the example.
Anyway,
Likewise, once you see that attachment and so forth cannot be eliminated without practice of the advice taught by your Dharma teacher, in other words, you've got to put into practice what the spiritual friend says, you should practice with persistence and not strive after the vain terms of numerous classifications without putting them into practice. So we haven't got to that last bit yet. And then, of course, you get the sort of person who's really after, what do they call them, the long...
Oral transmission,
did it? Really, I got so-and-so oral transmission. I got a great pile of oral translations. I got all sorts of teachings. They're just... They got a certain number of them. That's what they're into, right? So this is what it means here, where it's saying vain terms of numerous classifications. Vain terms of numerous classifications. What that means is you get a certain sort of person. Then they ain't going to put it into practice. Bodo, I got this yesterday, I got that yesterday. You wouldn't believe how many of these I've got and those. So the number that they get is important to them. And so they... You know, they got the number. But actually, what they hear, putting it into practice like medicine, that they don't do. So that's what that's talking about. So in other words, you get the great scholar, just really, a tremendous scholar, and you want to get to be that sort of thing. And that's the reason you're doing it. Practice it, nothing to do with it. But you just want to know it all and be the great scholar. That's not what you're doing. So what it's saying here, is you just put a little bit of something into practice now and then, that's not it. That's not where the benefit's going to come from. I mean, think of a person with leprosy, and the leprosy is really getting quite advanced. So the actual disease is beginning to mean that they're beginning to lose fingers and toes. And you go, I take a couple of pills. The person doesn't think like that, right? A couple of pills isn't going to help a person like that.
Of course, Toma may find a new movie, Nay, Sapchin, you tap the orders. Anne Damga Coton, Le Rere, Nis, Am Yamsa Langby, Chocomars, Caleb Gumaris.
So, as it says, as a matter of fact, what good would it be to a leper whose hands and legs are coming off to resort to a dose of medicine once or twice? Likewise, for us who have been stricken since beginningless time with the wicked basis of illness. That must be Ningenlen, what? Did Ningenlen be? Ningenlen be? Ningenlen? The wicked basis of illness. Anyway, wicked basis of illness, that is the mental afflictions, it is not sufficient to practice the meaning of the instructions only a couple of times. So you get some instructions, right? This is what to do, and you do them one or two times, but that's it. That's not the way it works.
So
And as it goes on, that is why we should examine all the complete parts of the path with the wisdom of individual investigation. In other words, one should come to understand, come to get to know all of the different parts of the path, and then be as diligent as a flowing river, in the sense that the river doesn't have any gaps in it. It just keeps going on. Then there's a scriptural authority for this way that is of this way of explaining. And the scriptural authority is this so-called Deshana Stava, or the praise of confession, Deshana. Praise of the Deshana, anyway, praise of confession. It's a praise of the Buddha, one way or the other, by Chandragomin. And he says, that is to say, our minds are always obscured. For long we have served the causes of our ills. How can a leper lacking hands and feet, who sometimes takes his medicine, derive any benefit? So that's the scriptural authority. So anyway, the importance of the discrimination of oneself as someone ill. This is the second hirwa. So that being so, the discrimination of oneself as someone ill is very, very important. If it is present, the other ones will also arise. But if it just remains merely words without the meaning of the instructions being accomplished for the sake of eliminating the mental afflictions, you'll only be a listener. In other words, if you don't really, if it doesn't really bite the notion of being sick, but it's just something which you understand being said, you don't put the instructions into practice, then you just remain as a person who's hearing it. Then it says in Samadhi Raja Sutra, the King of Meditative Stabilization Sutra, that you will resemble a patient who, having sought a doctor, only strives after the medicinal composition rather than taking the medicine, and does not get rid of his illness. As it says, if after I have explained the excellent Dharma, you do not apply it well, although you have heard it, you'll be like patients whose pouches are full of medicine, but who still cannot cure their own diseases. So the point is, if one does comprehend, but having comprehended, though, one doesn't put what one has comprehended into a continual practice, then one will not cure oneself. And the example for that is then somebody who carries around a great pile of medicine, but actually doesn't take it. And again, the Bodhicaryavatara says these should be put into practice physically. What would be gained by uttering just the words? Would it be beneficial to patients if they just read how the medicine is meant to be used? If all you're doing is just saying what it is all the time, you're not going to get anywhere. It's got to be put into practice, so you're actually doing it with your body, speech, and mind.
Yeah.
It would be like a medical textbook. A person starts reciting a medical textbook. It's not going to cure them, even though it's telling what all the cures are in it. You shouldn't mix this up, because of course you do also have, as a part of an integrated medical treatment, the recitation of the Vaisaja Guru or Medicine Buddha rituals, right? Now, yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with saying them alone, right? So this is talking about another kind of aspect of treatment, because of course saying those has value. So, moving on to the third, the instructions act accordingly, having identified the meaning of persistence, neten cheba, persisting. Therefore, the discrimination that persistence eliminates the disease should be developed. You've got to keep doing it again and again. Persistence in this statement signifies putting into practice the topics of adopting and discarding modes of conduct from the spiritual teacher's instructions. In other words, there's this particular word, persistence, here. I don't know where it is. Anyway, this word persistence has a particular meaning here. It's there's certain things that you should do on a positive side, and there's certain things you should reject on a negative side. So it's putting those two into practice. Putting those two into practice is what's being conveyed by the word persistence. So the whole process here, it's saying that now to put them into practice, you need to know them, and for that you need to hear them. And again, after hearing and knowing them, you need to practice them. And therefore, it is crucial for you to engage with the meaning of what you have heard to the best of your abilities. So the point is that you have to understand what you shouldn't be doing and what you should be doing to look after yourself. In order to understand that, you have to listen to somebody tell you. And then when you've listened and understood them, that whole process, the essential thing in that process is then to do it. And so putting it into practice or doing it is the crucial thing here.
Yeah, that too.
Let's leave it there. Any questions?
Yeah.
Gegu nambe. Gegu nanju
lives.
Gegu chit manyongse.
Weren't you the disciplinarian?
No, I was not
the
disciplinarian. Umze,
though.
Dongli chen bot kur
manyongse. I've never been the donkey for that. Yeah. Doctor. I've never been the beast of burden for that.
Yeah.
I've never had that huge load on me. Yep.
Umze, yes.
Yes, I was the leader of the chant. Luring Lula.
Kashila, here it says that we have to recognize that we're ill. What can we do when we just began to recognize that we're ill, but we live with and practice with some who do not recognize they're ill at all, except practice patience?
Chisung as the neba yimba douche. Kegorwa. Tang as le tambo yimba che. Anya kasakala dutiya mi mang chawarang neba yimba ki douche kune yomawa. Ta zuba gom den gom goreyam. Nyamle member ti kari yona.
Yes. Ta rang la ne pin di chi se du ne kari na ne ne pare de du ta gu mas.
Actually, knowing that one has a knowing that one's sick is how to say what's first there. You've got to know what you're sick with.
I do. Ta ne.
So what one's sick with then is like obsessive needs, deep aversions, confusions, certain kind of arrogance, certain sorts of doubts, and certain perverted views. Is that a way to put it?
Thank you.
Haven't you really got upset? Really got upset at somebody and it's affected you so you just can't fall asleep? You know, the person's really, really upset you. That's called hatred, right? Or aversion or anger, whatever you want to call it. But it really got upset and you can't fall asleep, right? Some sort of I suppose you could really take a strong sleeping tablet, but basically there is no medicine that's going to cure that really strong upset, right? But if you were to say, no. So, but if somebody were to impart to you the advice, put into practice this, namely, feel a love for that person, it would cure it, wouldn't it? And then, you know, you really start to, envy. You really do begin to envy. It begins to rankle you. When the envy rankles you, how do you get rid of that? If somebody advises you to really begin to feel a sense of jubilation in what that person's got. In Bada. Otherwise, some people say, what is it? Rejoice or something. Yeah. And then, so then you've really got a huge amount of things on your plate, and they're very complicated, and you're really beginning to get confused. So that's timok, right? That's confusion. What the heck am I going to do here, you know? So, an intellectual, wisdom, or what's the word here? Intellectual ability, it's not quite intellectual ability, it's like a decisive intellect that can get through to understand what's to be done, you know, shut up. That's what's going to help you there. And of course, the one that is at the very perfect limit would be seeing the emptiness of it all. That counteracts, is an antidote to all of the afflictive emotions, all of the kleshas. So it's really important to identify the disease or the sickness here. So then if you're a great vehicle, you're no longer curing the afflictive emotions, which are your personal sicknesses, but you are acting to cure to clear away, to cure the afflictive emotions that other beings have too. You know how it's put, the stages. First, you calm down your own mind stream. And when you've calmed down your own mind stream, then you calm down the mind streams of others. Let's leave it there today.
Java male jebe yajur jang jaze zurje kengaran yave jonze doje dembe ndu lozan yave demba jeje onze onbo doge jengar danje zena nye doje seje yave ngajo dembe ndu lozan yave demba jeje dajo zame jeba bebe jere tebe ronde kegaran jung Yo 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 y
Okay, thank you. Yeah, okay.